good. Everybody hear me all right? Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Man, I've been having a great time with everybody here. Good to see all my friends and family, new family members in San Antonio. Amen. I've got, I'm so blessed. I have two of my spiritual sons and daughters here, Mark and Michelle Menor. They're from here in San Antonio. They're the ones that helped open up the Barcelona Loft to us, and it was such a blessing, and it's been a blessing so far in this whole deal. I know we're going to carry some stuff back with us. Amen? There's something that I always do, and of course my beautiful wife is here. And,
amen.
Something that I always do is I always, because we're in transition right now, so I always have them play a song, and then and I want everybody to stand to your feet and begin to worship with us. And you, some of you may know the song, some of you may not. And amen. Go ahead. Raise up.
Zion is calling me to a higher place of rain. Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise.
To stand up,
stand upon the mountain
and magnify.
Talk to him.
Yes, I wanna know you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated if you like. Amen. I love that song because that's what we want to do is we want to know the Lord more. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, time I hear that song, it kind of takes me to that place where, you know, up that mountain with the Lord. Amen. I want to, if we can get some lights here, let's help out everybody. Amen. Well, like I said, it is a great pleasure to be with you guys and finish off this transcending conference, even though after we live here, we're going to move up higher. Amen. We're not going down. We're going up. Come on, somebody. We're going to higher places and deeper levels. Amen. We're not here to mess around or play around. We're here to go up higher. Amen. Well, I'm going to try to, they've raised the bar for me, so I've got to try to give you something that they didn't give you, but I'm going to try to veer in a direction to kind of reiterate some of the stuff, but I want to take us into a spiritual realm that probably we hadn't seen yet. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians. You know, I apologize. Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 1. Like I said, it's an honor and a pleasure to be with you guys. I love you guys. Thank you for your hospitality, Pastor Marty and Inez. Y'all just bless my socks off and enlarge my territory. I'm telling you, I was like, man, my stomach is transcending. Amen. Woo. Yeah. Woo. Anybody's stomach transcend this week? I mean, I'm telling you. Amen. Wear your stretchy pants. Amen. Shoo. Man, I'm telling you, when you come to San Antonio, you got to wear your stretchy pants. I'm telling you. Man. Then wear your sweats. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Therefore, let us go on and... Oh, I'm sorry. Hebrews. Equally. Hebrews, yeah, the apostle. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and the doctrines of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness, perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Come on. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abomination of dead works, dead formalism, and the faith by which we turn to God. So, what we're saying here is we need to mature. That as a body, we need to go from elementary stage into the stages of deeper revelations and higher heights and deeper depths. Amen? Because in order to know God, you've got to be in Christ. And, of course, Christ lives in us. Now, let's go. I didn't want to take the text out of a definition, but I want us to go to back to, I'm going to look up here for you guys. I'm going to give you the definition of transcending one more time so you understand where we're going. Mm-hmm. Now, this says here to rise above or go beyond the limits of or over negativity. Mm-hmm. I believe that I don't like to glorify Satan in any way, but I believe he's done a real good job of messing up the church. Right, to the point of we're so conscious of what he's done to us. And most of us wouldn't even be here if Satan didn't mess with your mind a little bit. If he didn't mess your life up in order to draw you to Jesus. So many times what we're so having to do is we're having to console and to help you get over the devil, what he did to you, right? And so, but I believe God wants to transcend us to another level and break us past that point where we are not always concerned about, because listen, what you think about most is what you become. And so what happens is we tend to worry so much about what the enemy's done to us. We come in hoping we're going to get something that's going to give us inspiration or have a an encounter, but not the what the not have the we have a visitation, but not a habitation. So what happens is we tend at churches, we tend to say, oh, we want you to visit us. But really, we need the habitation of God to live within us. And so we have to go from the experience to an encounter. And so what happens is many of us say we want the visitation, but we don't want the habitation of God. And so when we have the habitation, and I'll explain to you a little bit more about that in a little bit. But when we have habitation, God begins to live in us. And through us. And the enemy has done a good point of doing us to messing our minds up, messing our heart up, messing our life up to where we're so concerned about that, that we can never be mature Christians. To where we're defeating the devil instead of us coming in and say, Pastor, will you please pray for me? Because the devil's been knocking at my door every night and I've been sleeping with the enemy and I've been hit and I've been pulverized by Satan. And so we come in and the enemy wants the church to be powerless. So if we have a powerless church, what happens? See, we're ineffective. So Paul, I believe, is saying here, he said, let us go on to maturity. Let us grow up. Let us get into deeper levels. Let us go into to higher heights and take the limits off. Let me show you like this. Let me try to give you an analogy of something. Is if have you ever heard of a flea circus? Anybody? You know, the one that you buy at the flea market. Okay. The flea circus. So the flea circus is this. You put fleas in a jar and you put a lid on it. And the fleas are hopping up to the lid. And that's as far as they'll go. And you leave them in there a couple of days and they're boom, boom, boom. And you'll hear them ting, 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 hitting the top. And what happens is after about 2 days or so, you take the lid off. Those fleas will never jump out. The enemy has put the lid on most of us. Come on. And God takes the lid off. And we never jump out. Because he's got you so messed up in here. And so we never go further into spiritual maturity that wants us to move into power. Because if you ever get the inkling of who you really are and your spiritual authority, remember in the garden, we were made in his likeness. And his image. In God's imagination, he imagined us into his likeness and image. He said, that's who I want you to be and who we're going to make you just like that. But here came a guy named Satan that decided that he was going to use his cunningness to speak to Adam and Eve. I know you want to say it was her fault. But you remember this man, he loved her. He was always, wherever she's at, I'm going. So you know he was back in the back going, go ahead, go. You try it first. I don't know. So what happens is, you do it. If you bite it, you won't die. God can make me another one. You never saw it that way, but... Come on, somebody. I got another rib in here. All right. So she eats and they both partake of this because she says, see, nothing happened to me. Go ahead. So he made him in his likeness, his image. And when we got the image taken away from us, the power got taken away. So what happened was, is God came in his infinite wisdom and said, I have to make another one like in me that will take back everything, redemption of everything the enemy has stolen. And Jesus said, I'll go. Because remember, he was here. He wasn't just born out of the manger. He was already a spirit, already in heaven, and he came to earth. So what he did was, he came to redeem us back. To everything that we were, the last Adam lost. So we would have the power and the authority, not salvation only. Because many of us want to just have the visitation, but the habitation And that's why we have so many problems in church, because there's no habitation in the people. I'm not talking about church, because, listen, he inhabits the praises of his people. So visitation, if you're going just from the visitation, you need to go to the habitation. And so God wants to inhabit the people. And so what he did with Adam, with Jesus, is he came, and Jesus, with all power and authority, walked in a transcending life. Jesus walked on water. He walked through walls. Okay? He did things that seemingly impossible with man, because with God, nothing is impossible, right? So the things that were impossible for man to do, God, Jesus was trying to show us that it was not impossible for us to do. So what happens is, we just think of, oh, we're just supposed to love Jesus and go to heaven, when we're really supposed to call heaven down to us. So we're so busy trying to have heaven or God touch us. When was the last time we went to touch God? Because we're so busy trying to have the experience, but not the habitation. And so we want the warm fuzzies, but we don't want the impartation. And so what happens is we have this experience with Jesus as we know him as the Son of God, and he's done all these great things. But watch how he is a limitless God, where he is transcending constantly and not just going higher, but living in realms of spiritual realms that earthly people can't understand, because we only see in part. And so if we ever get in tune with what really living him living inside of us and we living in him, what happens is we begin to walk as Jesus walked and talk as Jesus talks. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. So what happens is he's constantly in a moment of chronos time and kairos time. He's constantly in the time where there's no time in heaven and space. There is no seasons, as I explained once before, with God. God is all, he's all seasons at one time. So when he walked up to the fig tree and he looked at the fig tree, it said, was ripe with figs. I mean, it had no figs, it had leaves. So it should have been producing something. Because if it had leaves, that means something should have came out of it. I don't know about you, but I've said it many times. If I was that tree, I would have went, squeezed something out. Here comes Jesus. Because Jesus was constantly transcending. Where he comes from, see, Adam did not have, Adam, when he was in the garden, Adam, if he picked a piece of fruit, another one grew back. Nothing died in the garden. Until sin came. So nothing died in the garden. So when Jesus comes, there's nothing dies in Jesus is in Jesus' life. Wherever he went, people rose from the dead. People were healed. People just, a woman just reaches over and touches the hem of his garment. Most of us would go, hold on a minute, let me have a prayer line. Jesus is like, I'm on my way, I'm going to go do my thing. And all of a sudden, somebody reaches up and pulls on the hem of his garment, and virtue out, and they were healed. Why? Because he's always going higher, and he's limitless. Power, he has limited power. He doesn't have limited power. He's limitless in power and anointing. It's a constant flow. And so what he intended us to be as sons of God. Woo! Shut up, devil. I am going to preach this message anyway. As sons of God, he intended us to walk as sons and daughters of God with power and authority. So when Jesus walks up to the fig tree, he walked up with his power and released. He said, I curse that tree because it wasn't producing. Because in the garden, everything reproduced after its own kind. So, with no limits and no boundaries, Jesus was a constant flow of what? Of transcending. Transcending in power and authority. He overcame any obstacle that was in his way. Now, natural limitations, as we know, as I referred to earlier, when we first learned that we could run a 5-minute mile, the 5-minute mile was difficult at one time. And then we broke that. That's in the natural. And then it went to 4 minutes, and it went to 3 minutes. And I think there's somebody who runs almost a 2-minute mile, just about. So there is a capability that man can do in the natural and break limits that they wouldn't normally be able to break. But see, first, listen to what I'm about to say. First, you have to be able to know it's possible. And if you know it's possible, then what happens is you in your subconscious realize that it is possible, and then you can achieve it. Ephesians 3:20 says what? That he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the what? Power that worketh within us. So what is that power? It is the Spirit of God, and it's God living in us. Now watch what I'm about to tell you. So God is living in us. Now watch. The whole universe contains God. If a man with a legion of demons can have that many demons and cut himself and beat and almost die and live through it, how much more of God can we carry within us? We carry all of God. Not a partial of God. We carry all of God. So what he's saying is, literally, the only way that you could have all of God living in you is you have to relinquish your heart. Because a demon can only go in through opening your heart to him. So Jesus, when we open our heart to God, Jesus comes to live in. The whole God of the whole universe that contains him is inside of you. Not partially, all of him. The only reason, listen folks, the only reason we don't have the capacity to do everything Jesus did is because of sin. If there was not sin, but see, you can break it with the power that lives in you. But because of sin, it hinders. The carnal mind hinders the power. It says it's an enemy to God. So when we think in carnal thinking, when we have carnal, like I can't, it's impossible. You know, when you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All of your cells and your body and your muscles and your strength begins to raise up because you have just used the name I am, I can in you. Amen. He says I am, and you say I can. I am that I am lives in you. And if I am, that's why it's dangerous to say I am sick. Because God's name does not go with sickness. I am poor. I am broke. When you say that, you're actually using God's name in vain. So we don't do that. Why? Because we don't want to add God's name to something that is the devil. The devil did it. Not God. So, all of the universe lives of God lives inside of us. Not partially, all of it. So greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The reason we don't believe we can go past the limits is because we have been taught on the Western side of things. The Bible is an Eastern written book. But we've been Greekicized. And so what happens is we have been told that there are limits to what we can do. We read about it and we say, oh, look at the great things Jesus did. But Jesus never intended us to just know about what he did, but go about doing what he did. If we ever get to a place where the church gets focused on him and his glory and his power and his deity, because the Bible clearly tells us if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, we've got the things, all these things will be added unto you. We have gotten to a place in Christianity that we want the things before we want God. And then we want God to bless them. But when we seek first the kingdom, then we move on to spiritual things. I believe that we are living in a time that we're about to move past natural things and natural limitations and supernatural things. If we are more supernatural, which we are, than we are natural. This body, I don't care if you like it or not, this body was not made for you. Whatever, you just say, well, I don't like my body. You take that up with God. But spiritually, we're supposed to be more a spirit being. And we're supposed to be hungering after God. Listen, this is where we make the mistake, is we want the gifts, but we don't want the gift giver. I know preachers today that go after the gift, but they don't know the gift giver. Because God has made us to be spiritual. God has made us to be powerful and transcending, taking all limits and boundaries off of our life. But you have to, as Pastor said earlier, you have to let go, because I believe that's in the Latin definition. You have to let go of the negative in order to get the positive. You have to let go of the past, which the enemy's good at keeping us in the past instead of moving to the future. But whenever you focus in on where you're going, that's why without vision, people perish. So what happens is, if you don't have a vision for your life, a vision for where you want to go with God, then what happens is you cast off all restraint. One version said you go buck wild. Dance in the street naked, buck wild. So before you received Christ, you were buck wild. But once you received him, now watch this. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Jesus said, I only do what my Father does. What I see him do, I do. So whatever you should be doing is what you see your Father doing. But we're so busy trying to fix our hangnail. All right. So whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Jesus was binding and loosing constantly when he walked. It says he was in two places. He could be seated. We were supposed to be seated. It says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So if we're seated in heavenly places, why are we looking at life at this plane on earth? So we're looking at a natural perspective instead of looking at the supernatural perspective. Whenever you learn to tap into the spiritual side of you, you will defeat the devil every single time. But as long as you are constantly worried about the flesh, when you're constantly trying to appease the flesh, see, those are things that, see, we're always teaching the church, don't sin, don't do that, stop it, quit messing around over here, quit doing that. God never intended us to be that way. He's wanting us to teach us higher things. So you're focused on the gift giver, or the giver of everything, the father of everything. You're focused on him, and you have the kingdom living inside of you. So where's the kingdom? In here. So when we say thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earthen vessel as it is in heaven. So in heaven, is there sickness? No. Is there poverty in heaven? No. Is there disease in heaven? Is there tacos in heaven? Some of y'all, I believe there's Babaco and Big Red in heaven. I don't know about you. Woo, there is Babaco and Big Red. Hallelujah. Maybe some of y'all might say, woo, I want to get there faster. You keep eating it, you'll get there faster. Amen. So it says here that we are supposed to, as a transcending body, we're supposed to be excellent. We're supposed to be in elevation. And we're supposed to be surpassing and excelling. Not just naturally, but supernaturally. Now watch. When you worship, I'm going to teach you something. Worship is a very huge part of church. But it's an even huger part, if that's a word, for a believer. Someone asked me one time, how is it that you could be on the street and pray for somebody to fall out? I said, because I'm a worshiper. So I'm constantly in the zone. I'm constantly in that presence. Because he says, I inhabit the praises of my people. And that wasn't just for church. That was for the church, you and I. And so when we listen, watch. Whew. Smile at me even if you got two teeth. All right. All right. All right. So as we worship the Lord, watch this. See, I was so blessed by what I felt in here, comparison to what I felt a year ago at the last conference, was, yeah, we had a great breakthrough with things. But when people begin to worship, he inhabits the praises of his people. But listen to what we've missed in the worship service. See, many of us know how to worship God and feel God. But it wasn't intended just to feel God. It was to, when you draw nigh unto me, I draw nigh unto you. But does he really move towards us, or are we moving towards him? Okay? So when we're worshiping, we're so busy trying to say, God, come down and touch us, but when is it time that we go, God, I want to touch you? See, we want him to come down, and God said, I've already come down. But I need you to come up higher. So this is what happens when we're in worship. Watch. When we're in worship, we forget, we don't realize what we're missing once we've hit when we've worshiped and you feel the presence and God's presence is in the house and God's, everything that God has is in the house waiting for you to harvest what you have worshiped to, what you worship for. So this is what happens. The world, during the Jesus movement, was a worship experience. So when they would worship, the church didn't know how to harvest what God was trying to give us. Do you understand? When you're worshiping God, there are things out of heaven coming down, ideas, revelation. There are plans for businesses. There are plans for new songs. There are plans for all these things. That's what happened. But the world grabbed it. The church was like, ooh, this feels so good. And they left. But the world grabbed a hold of it. And all these things began to computers. And things began to come out of that. And then you had the Azusa Street revival. And what happened? All of a sudden businesses got. Businesses grew out of that. Things started happening. It started changing the outside world through a move of God. But when we ever learn how to harvest, when we worship, when was the last time you worshiped and said, God, what is it you want for my life now? What do you have for me, God? And you grab and listen to what he says, and then you may have the next Microsoft. You might have the next Apple. You might have the next hit song. You might have the next ability to transpose the melodies of heaven. Businesses, what have you. So when we understand things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you realize that Christ lives within you. Your abilities are natural abilities. You far surpass them in earth. Because if you think as a supernatural being and not as a natural being, you'll move into realms of glory and provision and health and design by God. Because we were not made to live by default, but by design. We were made to live because, listen to me, you and I have the handprint of God living on us. We are the DNA. We are, listen, he says you are sons of God. But we say that because it sounds good. Ooh, I've got adopted. I like that. But are you moving in sonship? Because the deal is, yes, we are. But if you don't know your authority, listen, if I give a child the authority to drive my car, then he has the authority, or she has the authority to drive the car. God has given us the authority to drive the world, to take dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. And what? And to replenish the earth. He's given us the ability to have all the things that Jesus intended us to have. God did, because that's why Jesus came. And we're supposed to be sons of God, and we're supposed to be co-creators. That's why we're supposed to have dominion in the earth, creating things that represent God.
Amen.
That's why we live in the natural realm saying, oh, that's impossible. I can't do that. But if God lives in you, you can do all things.
Amen.
We're supposed to be co-laborers, co-managers of the earth, co-creators with him, creating. That's why when John Washington Carver, anybody know who that is? John Washington Carver, what he did was he was a scientist, and he asked God, tell me the... He says, I want to know the spiritual side of you. I want to know the mysteries of God. I want to know your mysteries, God. I want to know the mysteries of heaven. And he said, go speak to your plants. He was a botanist or was a botanical or whatever. Yeah. He goes, speak to your flowers. And they began to grow.
Thank you.
And they began to grow. And in turn, God said, I can show you in a peanut my life. So he said, speak to your plants. God spoke the world into existence. The Holy Spirit was brooding over the waters. Now, why was he brooding over the waters? See, listen. God could not create the earth until the brooding was finished. And then he spoke and put the ruach of the breath of God into the earth. And when God says something, it does not return back void. So when God speaks, the whole earth is still alive. Listen, the only reason the earth would die is if we taken off of the planet. The only reason is if we're taken out of here and we are gone, then the earth dies. Because God needs someone like us to co-create and co-labor with him. Because we are sons of God, seated in heavenly places with a heavenly perspective, looking from up here doing warfare from on top. We shouldn't be doing from down here. We're so busy like, got you, devil. But from up there, we're supposed to be creating what we want to see, not what we see. Is this helping you? So why do we live the life that we believe is go to church and that's it? Why are you and I, why do we live that way? I don't know what happened to my keyboard player. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Why are we living the life of just, why are we doing churchanity?
Uh-huh. Say it again, sir. That was good.
Instead of Christianity. Christ-like in the earth as it is in heaven. As he is, we are. As we move and have our being, it's through him. So we are supposed to be living, transcending constantly, taking the limits off in the spirit realm, not just in the natural realm.
That's right.
See, but we've been so conduced to this church life that says we're going to take the natural limits off. We just take this limit off. Listen, let me tell you something about transcending, going up higher and moving up a hill. You can't take everybody with you. You can't take you can't take everyone with you. Listen, when you're climbing a mountain, you want to pack light. Otherwise you tire quickly. So when you're transcending and going higher, you can't take everyone with you. That's why you'll see people in church drop off. That's why people in church drop off and you wonder what happened, because they had what? They just had a visitation, but they didn't have a habitation. They had a... They had an experience, but they didn't have the encounter. Because I myself had an encounter with God, like most of us in this room, pastors in here had an encounter. And when you see God do something freaky like he did, like poof, I don't know if you were here, but when he said they tried to burn all that stuff and it just, oh, well, I guess it's not going to burn. And then smoke came and poof, the fire hit it. See, when that happens, you go, okay, there is a God. Santa Maria. Gloria a Dios. You're like all of a sudden, whoo, that's it. I'll peel it. But once you have that experience, if you just leave, like Pastor Jason was saying, if you just leave with the experience, then you can't really tell people what happened and them get the whole thing. It's kind of like going to Olive Garden and eating the fresh hot, you know, sticks that they get out, those, that bread. Then you go home and say, ooh, I had some great, man, this thing was great. And I ate this great salad and stuff. And then you bring it home to them and it's not warm anymore. That's what it's like when you had an experience, but not the encounter. See, encounter will show that you have changed. The encounter shows the fruit of what God has done in your life. And God is wanting us to have the encounter, be a church with an encounter, be a church with a habitation, be a church that is transcending constantly spiritually. Because listen, you can break all natural laws. Naturally, you can break things. You can be the best person on your job. You could be the best manager. You could be this. You get raises, bonuses, all that, because we're looking for that in the natural realm. But the truth of the matter is, if we're seeking to transcend spiritually, when you take the word transcending, it comes from a transmutation. Transcend meditation. There you go. Transcendental meditation. When you do that, you go into a spiritual experience.
Right.
When was the last time you meditated on the Word? See, listen, and I'm getting ready to close, but we have taken things that we call devil did it. St. Francis of Assisi used to fly. Okay, turn your brain off. Don't do that. Don't turn your brain off. Turn. I want you to wrap your brain around this. Listen, St. Francis of Assisi. There's a story of him. I don't know if anybody knows who he is. See, people want to throw that out because he was Catholic, right? Okay, there's powerful men and women of God. This guy, they were trying to put this cross on top of a church. He levitated, flew to the top, and straightened it out. But see, today, we'll see guys do that and go, ooh. And run. That's the devil. But they tapped into something that the church was supposed to tap into long ago. Padre Pio. Anybody know who he is? A woman comes to him and she says, she knocks on the door and he's in there making his, washing his dishes, whatever he was doing. She comes in and says, she's under, got a coat on. She takes the coat off and she's naked. She tells him, come lay with me. And he says, dear, I understand that that's what you want, but I don't. He says, but I'll tell you this. See that fireplace over there? And he laid down in the fire. And he says, now you come lay with me. Because he learned, they learned to tap into the supernatural.
Right.
When we learn to move in that, then you don't have to stop for the prayer line, or people don't have to stop you to pray for you. They just get healed by your shadow. They just grab a prayer cloth and be healed. But see, we say, oh, that was great for Peter. That was great for them. But what about, you know, I don't think we can do that. Why? Because we've seen preachers selling them.
Wow.
On TV. And so now it's become just a toy. When God intended us to take the DNA of God that's in us, the sweat that's in us, and just hand it to somebody and watch them be healed. Because what comes out of you is what's going to happen for the other person. If you have healing in you, it's going to come out. If you have the DNA of God, what happens? Then they get healed. And we all have that. Amen. We all have it. That's why they walked in such power and authority then we do now, because we're too worried about what's happening down here. Never transcending to higher heights and deeper depths. Never moving past the point of limitation, but always being the flea circus. Elephants, when they're little, they train them. They put a little chain around their ankle, and they're babies, and they can only walk so far. That elephant will stop, and he knows where to stop. After a while, they take the chain off. But he doesn't realize the chain's off. God wants us to realize that the chain has been off of your life. We don't need another church. We need a transcending church, limitless, without limits and no boundaries, where we're constantly not just worried, we're not growing in the natural realm, but the supernatural realm. Now, when you think kingdom or spiritual, when we think in those ways and we think supernatural, or we think transcending, where we have no limits, you will believe when you sow, you've already reaped. Amen. This is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got it. That was good. Because you believe you are a transcender. You believe that you have no limits in the natural. See, because whatever we touch, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Whatever you touch in the natural turns supernatural. Whatever you touch in the natural turns supernatural. Because we are a supernatural being having a natural experience. And we live in a natural body, but actually we're more spiritual. So when you realize, once again, when you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven, you already have a thought pattern that says nothing is impossible with God. And if nothing is impossible with God, that means God is living in you. So everything you do is not impossible. That's why when you walk out, when Jesus walked out on the water, he made the water. He made the earth. So when he walked on water, he was walking on the word that was spoken. He was walking on the elements that changed to be concrete for him. A person that lives the transcending life, lives a life that has no limits, that has no ceiling to your prayers, has no ceiling to your abilities. When you lay hands on the sick, they recover. When you can open blind eyes. We see supernatural things happen. We hear about them and we say, how did that person go from in their car to another part of the country and be translated there. It's in the Bible. How did they walk through walls? Because they didn't believe that it was a boundary. Because naturally, we're thinking natural, not supernatural. We're thinking with the carnal ability. That's why when we pray for people, what happens is they begin to think about what can't happen instead of what can happen. Because in the subconscious, we've been taught limits in the Western world. And we have put them to a place of saying that's demonic. Whatever we see, those things happen. Oh, that's demonic. But when you go to Africa, those are not demonic. They're a normal thing. You go to South America, well, you're going to see demonic, but you'll also see the supernatural side of God. Lift your hands and thank Him for a moment. Come on, thank Him. Press in. Get past your limitations. Get past your limitations right now. Get past your limitations, see? Because when you pray, you limit. When you worship, you limit. There's people in this place. A people. A church. It says, I don't want to be in the lower level plane anymore. Because God didn't create me like that. God created me to be a transcending body that has no ceiling, no walls. Can we be a church that speaks to the things that are and changes them? Can we be a church that speaks to the wind, the elements? And command it to change. Can we be the church that taps in to the supernatural side of life? Life that God designed and the devil put the devil under because he brought us into default. Can we be the church that believes we're sons of God, that walk in heavenly places and earthly realms? I believe whatever we bind in the earth has already been bound in heaven. Oh, the power of God is starting to come and expand out of you rivers of living water. Let the power of God flow out of you. Come on, touch God. Reach up to God.